This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are talking all about FOBAB, only about FOBAB, winners, losers, favorites. We do dive into some War Pigs, Foggy Geezer, but other than that, it's all FOBAB recap. So get ready for that. Here we go.
Yeah, because, you know, it's going to cork pop out, boop, and it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Rah, rah, rah!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we are finally drinking.
Finally, man. We're like 3-4 days off.
Yeah.
Off pace here. So
this episode's coming out a little late if everyone's used to getting them on, what, Wednesday? Yeah, you're going to get this Friday or early Saturday. Depends on how quickly I get this posted tonight. But we wanted to get an episode because FOBAB was this last week. So we had a lot to talk about and a lot to say.
I feel like FOBAB deserves its own episode. Yeah. And then we'll go into next week, and we don't want to really combine it with a bunch of other stuff.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But to kick things off here, we're drinking a little bit of War Pigs. Once again, this is a different one. This is their hazy IPA.
It's about that haze, bro. So we haven't had this one before. We've had one before.
Yeah, we had a different one.
Okay.
But they all look the same, so it's very confusing.
Yeah.
Like, they're just different names. This is the Foggy Geezer.
Right. Hazy IPA. And, you know, I noticed, because, you know, some people complain like, oh, well, it's not that haze. It's not hazy enough.
Yeah.
But I noticed, even with the Run the Jewels Interborough Pipeworks one, like, they call that a hazy one. The big boys, they're not really making the murky kind of, you know, wheat ale looking haze.
Yeah, the juicy.
They're not dealing with that.
You can almost kind of see through this beer if you're watching the video or have your own can.
And I want to say we've had something from Half Acre that was on the hazy, juicy side.
Yeah.
But it wasn't particularly cloudy. I think the bigger breweries are kind of like, look, we'll give you flavor, but we don't
need to make it cloudy. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I'm digging this beer. I don't know the percentage on it, but it doesn't feel like a punch in the face. And it drinks really nice.
Yeah.
Like, it drinks like that pale ale IPA kind of in between style a little bit.
Yeah. They do a good job of getting a lot of alcohol in these beers without the accompanying alcohol bitterness, harshness. Yeah.
Right. So if you haven't heard of War Pigs, once again, they are Three Floyds and McKellar teamed up. And these are usually canned in at Great Nation, and they're also canned somewhere in Wisconsin.
Verona.
Yeah, Verona.
Somewhere across the cheddar curtain.
Uh-huh. Even though the cans usually say Wisconsin, they're sometimes brewed here in Illinois, in Chicago, at Great Nation. So.
Great, Grand.
Grand Central.
Yes.
So not Great Nation. Yeah, Grand Central.
I'm like, what's he talking about?
Grand Central, yeah. Be sure to pick them up at their local beer, sort of Chicago, kind of.
Yeah, this is easy to find, too.
Yeah, plenty of it at Whole Foods and everywhere. Just look for those black cans.
War Pigs is a great name.
Yeah, it is good.
I feel like Black Sabbath, I think they had on their first album, they had a song called War Pigs.
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. All right, so this past week was FOBAB, the 15th annual FOBAB.
Yes. We got our FOBAB book here. It depresses me sometimes to look through this book and see all the stuff we passed up on.
Right.
Yeah.
So before this thing, I was looking back. I put an article up about like my past like 10 years at FOBABs.
I like that. I like that article.
Looking back through pictures that I had, this is now a book. It used to be a 2-page pamphlet.
Okay.
That was it. There was like 35 beers at FOBAB.
Yeah.
Back like even 6 years ago. You could drink them all. You didn't want to, but you could. Now, what? There's 500 beers?
We're looking at 65 pages in this book of beers. Yeah, and they're filling up an entire stadium. Well, stadium's a strong word.
Yeah.
USC Forum is not a stadium. USC Pavilion, maybe.
Yeah, so now it is this giant booklet that you, it's overwhelming. You need to hand these out. You need to mail them out to all the ticket goers ahead of time so they can like make a game plan. Because you show up and it's overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, I do like the fact that, you know, there are still pockets, even though it's kind of busy, you know, at every station is super busy, especially on Saturday. But and there's still pockets, though, that you can find where you can just kind of enjoy your beer. Yeah. But that pocket is not where the beers are being poured. You have to get your beer and go off to the side enjoy your beer.
So how, what'd you think of this year? After you've gone to multiple years, too.
Yeah, maybe like five or six of them I've been to FOBAB. Yeah. I mean, I feel like FOBAB always delivers. You know, I thought the first year there was kind of weird. I think they were trying to figure it out. I thought the rows were too close together. And then they had the really big bright lighting that made it feel all sterile and kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't like either of those. This year, I thought they found their rhythm this year. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a lot of the stuff that we saw this year was there last year. But the lighting, you forget how important it is.
Yeah, it's dim. They dimmed it over the years and... The first year, they also had the rows much tighter together. There was an extra row in that whole room.
Yeah.
And now they moved that cider stuff to the other room, and they got rid of that weird food thing that used to be there. I don't even think there was an option.
I think if you went near Coat Check.
Oh, that's what
there
was.
I think there was food out there.
Okay.
But yeah, I like that you take advantage of the space. Like you said, cider's broken off, and everything else is in the main hall, I think, right?
Yeah.
FOBAB's a good party. I always have a game plan, but then I see people, I find out what they're drinking, and then my game plan's out the window, like every time.
So you go into FOBAB knowing some of the beers you want to try.
Yeah, I think this year we listened to what people were drinking on Friday night session and kind of made it a point to try those out, the stuff that people were excited about. Like Cable Car from
Lost Abbey
was the first beer I had because I saw it on Friday.
And that's in bottles, right?
Easy to get to.
So, and it's going to go faster.
Dude, people like lining up for shit. I think I was there, so this is Saturday, maybe, you know, 11 or 12, mm-hmm. and, you know, 80% of the room is in line for one beer. You know, it's kind of, I think people see the line and they're like, well, I got to get in this line too.
I did that at one point. There was a line for, early on Saturday, there was a line for the Medianoche.
Weldworks.
From Weldworks. And Buddy Stark and I were just kind of standing near it, drinking another beer. And I was like, well, if we're just standing here, let's get in line. Like, we can stand and drink in line. And then by the time, we'll get this beer when we get up there and we'll see what it is. We didn't even know what the line was for. We were just, like, near it.
Yeah.
So we did that. And that beer took home an award, too.
Yeah. Medianoche. Do we have the award list? We can find it real quick.
We can find it, yeah.
Yeah. I saw Michael Palin from a microphone. And he was telling me, yeah, you got to try my beer. Well, that's what, you know, makes sense.
Yeah.
And but I was like, all right, cool. And it was a Fernet barrel of Softly Spoken Lies, which I believe is a double milk stout with cinnamon.
I didn't even see any microphone beer.
Yeah. So I went over there for that.
Nice.
I really dug that. But I saw him in the Cable Car line. Mm-hmm. And then another one in that room was Spawn 2017 from Jester King.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the beers that people were, like, really excited about.
Mm-hmm, yeah, the Jester King one went very quickly.
Dude, I feel like we should talk a little bit about Ryan Burke from Angry Orchard, right?
Okay.
So the reason I bring it up is because, you know, we're doing these stories, and it's like, all right, cool. Angry Orchard won a medal, right? That's cool. And then I'm looking through the last 5 years, and Ryan Burke has been on the stage 5 years in a row with 5 gold medals.
Wow.
In cider. And, you know, before the cider category that hasn't run the length of, it hasn't been since 03. Cider category is only 5 years old.
Yeah.
And he's won all 5 times. Mm-hmm. So 3 of those are with Virtue. He started at Virtue.
Okay.
And then the last 2 were with Angry Orchard.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
So I was like, dude, this dude is like, he comes in town every year, you know, gives you a shake, handshake, hug, picks up a gold medal.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's impressive, you know, because like, and I don't know, I think he was saying like, because we ran into him after his medal and he's like, yeah, all the categories, you know, there's 11 categories and the gold in each category goes to the round for best in show. Right. Okay. And I don't know if the ciders are allowed to do that. And he's like, you got to change that. You know?
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Yeah.
You got to change that. Yeah.
Hmm.
I guess it would be weird if a cider won, but I mean.
Why not? Right.
But I mean, it's in the competition. It's a category.
half the beers at Fobab have fruit in them.
Yeah.
And I know there was a, what, did Josh Knoll? The Tribune article talking about how we have a, basically there's a beer, we have a beer problem.
He's basically saying, I don't like these beers and we all shouldn't like these beers, kind of. That's kind of what I took from that.
Because Fobab is a bit of an experimental kind of fest,
right?
Really, to some degree. So it's like, what kind of stuff can you put in your beer to get people excited? If that's strawberries.
Trying to find the awards while we're talking.
If it's special rum barrels, if it's cherries, if you use cocoa nibs, lots of cocoa nibs. Beer. They're very sweet beers. Because they're also all like 13% beers at Fobab. That's what it's always been.
Exactly. And this is who we are as, you know, as a brewing industry. It goes in waves. You know, the you know, I was talking about Goza, like the Goza style a few years ago, right? You know, Black IPA a few years ago. This year it's hazy beers. This year it's, you know, the Mexican chocolate port stout beers, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, right? But that's only at Fobab. That's not a... You're not buying those beers to drink at home. Most people aren't because, one, they're very expensive. Like, if you had a bottle of BA Karma at home, it's like $20 or $50. If it's even bottled, I don't even know if it's bottled, but if it was, it would be a very expensive beer. So you drink these kind of beers, the Foggy Geezer, you know, your Half Acres, Revolutions at home. So I think his article was a little like, I don't know, he was correct about Fobab, but it's not the beer industry as a whole, or the beer.
I kind of see both sides of it, because there are a lot of Mexican hot chocolate stouts in these streets.
I don't want those when I'm drinking I think on my own.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm at a fest, I'll gladly try these beers because I'm not paying money. I'm not going to spend $50 on a bottle of beer. No.
Unless it's a Braxis. That beer's fucking amazing. Oh, but yeah, so we got the list of winners. We should probably talk a little bit about that.
Okay. Category one.
Yeah, best in show.
Oh, no. That would be category like 12.
Oh, so all right. So let's talk about, strong porter or stout.
Okay.
The interesting part of this is that, you know, like we said, if you want gold in one of these, you move on to the best in show round.
I didn't realize that's how it worked.
Okay. Yeah. So Claire's Thirsty Ale, for example, took a silver in Specialty Strong, and that's, of course, you know, Woodford Reserve barrels and raspberries. That took a silver. Had that taken a gold, it could have been.
Mm-hmm. And it was great.
Could have won the whole thing. You could win the whole thing if you win a gold.
Yeah, bouncing to that category. Pete Crowley, you know, he won the award, so it was really nice that he was able to get an award this year at the 15th Fobab, since he started Fobab.
Yeah, started Fobab. I think this is my Mount Rushmore for Chicago beer, right? And I think with John Hall and Ray Daniels, Randy Mosier, and Pete Crowley, right? I mean, because to your point, he created this festival, and then he also created, you know, he was a guild president for like 10 years.
Steve Hamburg doesn't get a...
Little Stevie, that's my guy, though. Shout out to Steve Hamburg. I love Steve Hamburg. But I think those are the, if we're snapshotting Chicago for the last, you know, 20, 30 years, I think those guys, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, but to your point, man, Pete's the guy, man. He started this fest, and he's still making these beers, you know?
Right. So that category, I forget what the category was for the
Specialty Strong
Ale.
Specialty Strong Porter.
That's where I spent a good portion of time early in the evening, because I was over there talking to Brian Shimko from Blue Island. He had a couple beers, but I think he might have judged that. So we were talking about some of the beers. He was like trying to figure out who it was after he judged them. And so we were looking at that. The BA Karma was there. That was a beer that people were after, like, they're focused on. That was a great beer. I think it rivaled Claire's Thirsty Ale in a way. But it was much more raspberry. Claire's is a little more rounded and a little more balanced.
And those guys, the Moore guys, they've only been open for 3 months. Mm-hmm. So how's this even possible that they're pulling this off? That's crazy. Because most of the time, if you need for the barrel to do its magic and pull out those really fun, complex flavors, you need like double, sometimes triple that 3 month period. So I mean, that's impressive, you know. That says a lot about the base beer. So
There was also Little Beaver. That beer was fantastic.
Now, who is the same from Moore still?
No, that was from Little Beaver.
Oh, Lil Beaver's the Crew.
Lil Beaver's the Crew.
Okay.
You got the book over there. I don't know. I'm just naming the stuff I had.
Lil Beaver, they had the rye barrel aged whole lot of wonderful.
Yeah, where's Lil Beaver at?
Shit, Bloomington, Illinois. Hello. Yeah,
see?
Where the hell's Bloomington? Probably down south somewhere.
Down south. College is there.
Okay.
And then also Half Day Road had a really good beer in that same category.
Oh, yeah, the barrel-aged warrior paint. Yeah, that's a coffee porter.
I was talking to Brandon. He's the head brewer over there, so he was telling me a little about it. They have a bottle release for this beer coming up.
Really?
So there's a Facebook page or in event page for this beer, so it was very good.
Man, so you got to try. I'm glad we're having this talk because you got to try a lot of stuff that I didn't. I mean, well, it's impossible to try everything. Mm-hmm. So,
but yeah, I hung out in this row for a long time just because there's a lot of space over there because it's kind of your way to venture to the cider area. So there was just a lot of people hanging out in this spot. So tried quite a few in this specialty. Porter, specialty stout, whatever the category.
Yeah,
was.
It's called specialty strong porter or stout. Mm-hmm. They got some weird names for these categories.
Was the Ben Thick in the category today?
Yes, Ben Thick was over there.
That's right there, right? Ben Thick, beer people love.
You know, I went to the brewery last Friday to get it. You know, and yeah, no way. 4 o'clock, we're done.
It's gone.
Yeah, we're all gone.
Damn.
Yeah, Ben Thick was coconut and coffee.
Mm-hmm. So almost all these beers in this specialty stout category. So this is why I feel like the Tribune article was written from this spot.
From this particular row.
Because they all like seem to have raspberry and coconuts in it. Because they're all almost Claire's kind of set the bar here. So now they're almost trying to all chase this.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm shout out to Claire's, man, because that's the second time that beer has won.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of repeat winners. This crew called Listerman from Cincinnati. So they took Best in Show last year, and they took runner up
this year.
But then 2 years ago they took silver for the same beer, Chacao. It's an experimental beer.
I blanked on them and didn't try any of their beers.
I missed it last year, so it was one of the first beers I had this time around. So the Brandy Barrel one was a Brandy Barrel. It's a brown ale, first of all. It's not a stout. And then it's got hazelnuts, and they put it in a Brandy Barrel. So
What category was that?
This is a specialty experimental.
Okay. Who else took an award in this category?
Let's see. Specialty and experimental, that category. Chacao Brandy Barrel took the gold. Lakefront up in Wisconsin, they took the silver for a Brandy Barrel Aged Imperial Pumpkin Ale.
Okay.
And Avery for their Tangerine Quad took the bronze.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all the quads were also in this category, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. This wasn't a category I think I spent much time in there. I had Blue Island's Quad, very good. But I didn't drink a lot.
Quads and triples. So Sun King had a rum barrel called Caramel Apple Triple. Mm-hmm. That was in there. What else? Anything else pop out here?
What was Blue Islands?
In the experimental?
I think so.
Okay.
It was a quad. No? Is it a different category? Might have been a different category.
Oh, but this is where you found both off-color beers in this experimental.
Did not have those.
Yeah. The one was fun. The one with the... There was Laffler Hastings beer. That was more of the Vienna lager with smoked black peppercorns and peppers. It was pretty smoked forward. And then the other one was a French oak barrel with a pilsner in it, and they put like pineapple and sage in the pilsner, and they call it On Color.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought that was the better of the two. Yeah. But those were both experimental. That was a fun category. I don't think I had anything else in this category.
We'll take a little peek here at our list here. Yeah, like I said, I kind of skipped over this category for some reason. I usually like trying the Metropolitan beers.
Well, yeah, what caught my eye in that category was the On Color from Metro and then the Chacao. Mm-hmm. So.
And you could have tried their Claire's Angry Ale.
Oh, in that category?
There, yeah. So
What was cool about, we were talking about Black Sabbath with the War Pigs, when Pete Crowley came on stage, they started playing Mr. Crowley, which is an Ozzy Osbourne song. And, you know, the guild exec director, she, like, stopped the program. She's like, listen, I insist that Pete Crowley come up here and personally accept this award.
He has to, he needs to come up here and accept it.
And it was cool because then they started, like, when he got up there, you know, they hit him, they tagged his Haymarket shirt with like all these Best in Show awards. It's cool. It's a nice little changing of the guard because up until the last 2 years, you know, the founder of the event, Pete Crowley, would also be the MC of the awards. And all that's changed now. So this year they had the was like the director of tourism from Illinois. He presented the awards.
Right. He moved a little fast for the
It was over before it started. Yeah. So Best in Show was More Brewing. Runner up was Chacao, right?
Yeah.
And then what were some of these other categories? So, like, we talked about cider. So, and then what about wild beer? Did you hang out in the wild beer room at all?
Not too much, just briefly. I don't really like that room. It's just like I don't know.
It's like adjacent to the check-in booth.
Yeah. I feel like I'm missing something, and can't.
Wild beer has three different metal categories. Wild beer Brett. Wild beer, acidic sours, and then wild beer, acidic sours with fruit.
Oh, okay. Here's the Blue Island beer I was looking for in the other dark beers. So this category.
Why do I love other dark beers?
This category covers quite a lot. So this is the Quad Relic. So this was a great beer. There's a whole bunch of quads in this Doppelbox. It just kind of hit this category that.
We should talk about how, you know, because I'm looking at other dark beers, the gold in that category went to Zaffig Brewing with a Wee Heavy. They're from Columbus, Ohio. Rheingeist Brewing took the silver for Double Oaked Mastodon. They're from Cincinnati. And then shout out to Pollyanna. They took bronze for something called Orenda Volume 2, and they're in Lamont. Oh, but, you know, there were 12 Illinois brewers last year that won medals. And that count dropped to 4 this year. A lot of out-of-state breweries are winning medals at FOBAP. So.
We're going to have to cut them out.
What happened to this being in Chicago? It's not a Chicago event anymore.
I tried all three of those beers that won in this category.
Other dark beer?
And the other dark beers. Because this isn't a category people like flock to.
Yeah.
It's other beer.
It's that other dark beer brand.
It's one of those you can go to after the awards are announced and still find these beers.
So what's dark? This is other dark beer. Then what's dark beer? Like stout? Gotta be, right?
And so back, the beers that won, they were fine. They weren't like standouts. I would have to say I had that Bob Ross Did It from Newton Whistle and that Blue Island beer.
Other dark beer?
Yeah. I think those were better beers, but that's, you know, that's me after a few beers at FOBAB.
Yeah.
So I'm not the judge, but I had those beers from the winners. I didn't really love them.
Speaking of experimental, man, did you get around to the Goose Island, the Scotch Barrel Aged Bourbon County?
No, I didn't try it. Well, maybe. No,
I think they said Ardbeg barrels. Man, it's like drinking... a smoked meat product of some sort. I was like, this peat thing is intense, man. Because peat is what they're using to dry out malt. Think about this. They're drying out malt to make fucking scotch that sits in a barrel for anywhere from 15 to 20 years, okay?
Right.
And then after 20 years, you take that barrel and then put Bourbon County in it for a year and still 22 years later.
Still scotchy.
Man, as fuck. I'm like, dude. When I had that beer, I was out.
Yeah.
I was like, this is too much. Yeah. I don't like Scotch beers.
Yeah, they're hit or miss. Like, we've talked about Robert. We've made fun of Robert the Bruce.
For years.
Any other the award winners that you ended up trying that you, like, loved or?
Well, I ran to, jogged to Surly Barrel Aged Darkness because we had it on a show last week.
Oh, we had Darkness.
And I thought it was a fine beer. It was solid. That took a bronze for a strong porter or stout. The surprising part about this FOBAB winner list is that, you know, a lot of these breweries, man, I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, never, not like knowing a FOBAB since, like, never heard of, period.
Right.
You know? So, in strong porter or stout, you know, Coppertail Brewing down in Tampa, Florida, for example, you know? Yeah. Or even, they got Fremont listed as Chicago. I think Fremont's in Seattle for barley wine category.
Yeah.
Did you get any of the barley wines?
I had From Beguile, they had batch 500?
Probably
500.
500.
That was excellent. That was really good. I think they have a bottle release. Beguile is actually doing in barrel aged flannel pajamas release tonight, right, as on. We're recording this at their brewery. So, but their batch 500 was really good.
Yeah, other pale ale, the Warped Wing Brewing Company took gold there for a Chardonnay Barn Gang.
Never heard of them.
And the silver was from Mother's Brewing. They're in Springfield, Missouri, for a barrel-aged ascetism.
They've won before,
okay,
because their logo is terrible.
Really?
It's really bad.
What was the really bad beer we had? We were all up front. It was us and Porsche drinking, and we were saying, you got to try this beer because this beer sucks. You remember this? And it was supposed to be like a peanut butter beer, but it wasn't. It didn't taste like peanut butter at all.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember what that was. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Oh, but, you know, on another note, shout out to Workforce Brewing in Plainfield. Farmhouse Vultures is their fruit beer. It took a silver. They've been in a competition for 4 years only been around for 4 years.
Yeah.
This is their third medal.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah.
So they're rolling, man. So I like to see... You know, it's exciting to see those crews that come back and just keep winning at this thing.
So what was your, outside of the award winners, did you have a favorite beer of the night? Like, was there one that you went back to a couple times or you just, like, wanted to go back to? Like,
There were some that I was surprised at how good they were. Like, we were searching for, you know, Claire Sturciel, but, you know, Stark was saying you should try the Vlad with raspberries.
Yeah,
and the Vlad was with raspberries was really exciting. Mm. The bourbon barrel milkshake beer from Lake Effect, I really dug that beer.
Nice.
Let's see, I didn't really like Spawn. Surprisingly, the Crooked Stave Blue Moon collaboration.
I heard good things about that.
Clean, tart, refreshing. Gets in, gets out. It's dry. Doesn't leave any finish. I really dug that beer. What else? We're looking at this list. But yeah, of the award winners, I don't think I had a lot of these award winners.
I know my favorite was, I mentioned this in the article, was the Blackberry Lemon Oarsman from Bell's.
I always thought Oarsman was like a brown ale, but it doesn't sound like it is.
It's more of like a sour
slash
table beer kind of thing.
You think this was a fruit beer?
Yeah, it would be in the fruit beer because it was Blackberry Lemon. That beer was my favorite. I think I took you. I was like, you got to come have this beer.
Yeah, and you were right. I really dug it. Mm, yeah. So in the fruit beer category, it looks like Shoreline. They've won before for that beer. Shoreline in Michigan City for Imperial Raspberry was the gold. We talked about Workforce for the silver. And then Alter Brewing out in Downers Grove won again for King's Blood.
Yeah. Right. But yeah. I don't know. So many beers to try. It's your judgment gets cloudy.
Yeah.
And your memory gets cloudy.
Ain't that the truth?
But then you stayed for a second session.
It wasn't intentional. You know, I was running around with
These are the perks of sometimes being the media, or the downsides of being media, right?
I was rolling with Josh from the Kankakee Journal. And he had somebody's coming later. And then I had Afro Beer Chick was coming at night. So we're like, well, hey, we're just going to introduce them to a few beers and let them try some beers. And then we're going to leave.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen like that at all. We ended up staying. And it was like, it was not a good idea. Yeah. But it was, you know, but I noticed that the BA Karma line was full. I mean, almost like Goose ran around almost the whole perimeter.
Yeah.
Goose was the crew that, like, they had assigned security guards to their corner so that you and you know and this rope because of stuff they were pouring.
Yeah.
No one else had that kind of impact, but the Moore line would run the full length of the other wall.
Yeah.
You know, and I was impressed by that.
That's almost the danger going at the night session is the award winners are already announced.
Yeah.
You know going in. So you have to is there a VIP for the night session?
No, and there's no imbibe hour. There's nothing.
Right.
So when you get, if you're a ticket buyer for 2018 FOBAB, know that there's no early entry. And then worse than that, like you said, since all the awards have been announced, every volunteer that volunteered in the morning session is already in line getting beer by the time you show up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just, you know, that night session is tricky, so.
Yeah, like, I would not, if I was going to FOBAP for the first time, I would go to the day session, get the VIP or the imbibe membership, whatever it takes. Yeah. That hour before everyone gets in is so important.
Dude, it's really the only, I'm not going to say the only way to try them, but yeah, it's worth it.
Because there was an hour into the doors opening officially, people are still in line to get into the event, into FOBAP. Like, you're still, like, we were walking around and we walked, I think we were moving over to the sour beer or the cider area. Mm-hmm. We saw people still in line coming in an hour later after the doors open.
What's capacity at an event like FOBAP?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
You know what I did like was the, there was some kind of art exhibit going on, and it was a photo exhibit. So you go around, even upstairs and downstairs, and there was all these like really cool photos of like that area from like maybe,
oh, I didn't even notice,
40 years ago. Yeah. Just like old people dancing. Like, I remember like going to church with like my grandma, and I'm looking on the wall, I'm like, that lady right there looks like someone my grandma would have hung out with. Like, super old school. We're talking like maybe 50s, 60s, you know, white rimmed glasses, you know, white gloves, just like super Sunday clean, you know. Just like, it was fun. It was really cool to see.
Damn.
Oh, let's run through these the wild beer. So Wild Beer Brett, Wolf's Ridge Brewing in Columbus took the gold. Wild Beer Sour Upstream Brewing took the gold. Wild Beer Sour's Fruit Upstream took another gold. So Upstream's in Omaha, Nebraska. Do you know anything about Upstream Brewing Company, Brad Chmielewski?
No, I do not.
Ditto. So they won for Things and Sour Beers, and then Things and Stuff in Sour Beers or Fruit.
Things, I was able to get a taste of Stark after that award was announced.
Okay.
I was tweeting Stark went and got a pour of it. Very good.
Right on.
Well worth the win, I would say.
Yeah. Blackberry Farm, I've heard of them. They took the silver in Wild Beer was Fruit. Mm-hmm. And shout out to Hopewell, man. Hopewell in Logan Square, Chicago. They took a bronze extended family in Wild Beer and Brett.
Nice. So,
yeah. A lot of fun stuff. I mean, I'm learning. I'm realizing right now while we're talking about it, like, yo, I'm learning about breweries that I knew nothing about.
Yeah.
Through FOBAP. And that's unexpected. I didn't think that would happen.
Yeah, you kind of, that's what I love about going to the festivals, and something I maybe screw up with at times because I'll end up talking to people and people I know. It's like, oh, I want to try your beers because I know you, I like you, yeah. I'm going to go to your booth. And then I don't try the guys next to you because I don't know them and I never heard of them.
Yeah, you know, it speaks to, it's like, to your point, man, like, I would go to the, like, FOBAP 3-4 years ago, and my buddies would tease me, and they'd be like, what would you have? They're like, oh, I had Peace, and, you know, I had Half Acre. They're like, no, you're doing it wrong, you gotta go national. And then part of the issue is, and that's why some of these groups where they rate beers, you know, who, regardless of who, you know, boohoo's at, groups that rate beers at least give you some idea of what those beers are going to taste like.
Right.
You know, because I walk into FOBAP and I have a beer from, you know, let's just say Lunar Brewing Company, this page I'm on, where, you know, and I don't like that beer. If I had that experience 2 or 3 times, you know what I'm doing? I'm going to take my ass to get some benthic, right? Yeah. Something that I know is good, you know?
Yeah.
So it's tricky, you know?
That's true. But I often use FOBAP, especially because it's very easy to just like randomly try something.
Yeah.
Let me just try this. I don't like it. Pour beers out, people. If you're going to these festivals, don't like it, pour it out. If you don't want to mess with it, there are tickets. There are tickets in the back of that book. Did you see this?
Oh, yeah, no.
Because legally, Illinois has to have tickets for all their beer.
Yeah.
But there's no tickets. You're not giving up anything. But if you don't love the beer, pour it out and try something else. Try different beers and find a beer that you like. That's the whole point of a lot of festivals. Like, it's not there to get trashed. Try other beers. You're going to get drunk no matter what.
No, that's true.
4 or 5 hours of drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get drunk.
Overall, FOBAP?
It was good. I think it felt like the best one at the USC Forum.
I agree.
I think they need something else now. Is it just this? Is it at the USC Forum? Do they go bigger? Do they change it up? What's left here? It's kind of like what you maybe thought with the Plumbers Union after a while. It's like, yeah, it's here. It's kind of fun that it's at the Plumbers Union, but is this all? This is it? Okay, we're just going to go there.
It's a good location. I mean, when you look at JBF, and I think they draw inspiration from that, you know, even with the price structure this year comparing it to JBF.
Yeah.
But that party is in the same city, same spot.
Yeah.
Every year.
So maybe that's fine. And me, after 10 years, I'm kind of like, okay. But someone else after 2 years or not ever going before because it gets sold out, they're loving it.
And I feel like, and you know, it's nothing against Denver, but you know, I think living in Chicago is a little bit different from living in Denver, you know. And then like, we get this opportunity. This is one of the reasons I love Beer Hoptacular for so many years, is because Beer Hoptacular would hit really cool spots every single year. Like it would be a different venue every year. And I'm not saying FOBAB should do that, but I mean, there are more opportunities to explore a cool big space in Chicago. And you could move this party somewhere else if you wanted to. But then you got to settle into it. Like in the first year at this place wasn't the best year. I think I think the guild hit their stride this year in that space. So
yeah, for sure.
There's something to be said about that.
I can't imagine them messing with it next year unless they were like, oh, we want to sell, you know, twice as many tickets.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's going to push them to another location is selling more tickets.
Yeah.
They could always raise the price $10 and sell less tickets, and so.
Oh, but then how about the video? Did you see the video in the beginning?
I did. I went back and watched it later because couldn't really hear it. But
do we know who's doing these videos? It's a nice video.
I did get an email from them because they were looking for footage because they were told that I might have footage from
they were like,
years of FOBAB.
We heard Brad Chmielewski's got some old school clips. Yeah. That was one of my favorite parts, was seeing that video. We talked about Lil Stevie Hamburg.
But it was short. It was only like 3 minutes.
Yeah. And I think at that part, that's kind of all you need. Yeah. But at least like it showed you the progression of it, you know. And then so I really dug the video. Oh, but then this website, man. Cheers to the guild, because our website is really clean. It's fobab.com. Not only does it show you, because in the past, what I would do is on Chicago Beer Geeks, I would manually just load all the winners and all the beers in every category, because when I went to fobab.com, I couldn't find that stuff.
Oh, okay.
And now when you go to fobab.com, you see this year's winners, and then you see all of past year's winners.
Oh, that's good.
Really nice, clean layout with fonts and, you know, even like little medals and shit. It's really cool.
Nice. That's
awesome. So cheers to them, man, because that site looks great.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Awesome. Well, that's our, I guess, FOBAB recap, right?
Yeah. More Brewing Best in Show, Chacao Brandy Barrel Aged from Lichterman. Best in Show, runner-up.
Mm-hmm. Where's Moore again?
Where Moore they? Is in Villa Park.
Villa Park, okay.
Yeah, and you know, I'm surprised, man, because whatever he was doing at Schaumburg, Sean Burns is the head brewer at Moore, who was at Ram in Schaumburg, and he would have people going nuts over his stuff. There was a frenzy over his stuff there. And then, like, whatever he was doing there has transferred over to Moore.
Damn, okay.
So, good for him, man.
Yeah, that's great. So, because we're putting this out so late,
we got after it with that FOBAB.
I'm really not going to dive into the events this week. There are the Black Friday stuff happening.
Yeah, Beer Bistro, Beer Miscuous, Whirly Ball is my favorite one for Black Friday. And then, of course, all the Benny's locations. Right.
So, these are all beer events that revolve around Goose Island's release of their barrel-aged beers.
Yeah.
And we may have an episode coming out where we get to taste them and try them, so keep a lookout for that. Otherwise, we will just, you know, talk about those beers and trying them. Right? Or like getting them in line. Like we've now sampled them probably on multiple occasions already. Yeah. So awesome. Anything else?
Shout out to Jared Rubin. I really dug the barrel-aged gingerbread imperial stout in Four Roses barrels. He also signed my book. I was a big fan of that. Yeah. Thank you, sir. What else? I think that's it, man.
All right, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, it's Friday. We got to continue our drinking. Nick, where can people find you or get in touch when we're not here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes are posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, the YouTube version as well. And hopefully we'll be back next week, normal time, with another episode.
Right on.
Take care.
Cheers.